I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dame is still capable of filling up buckets when he wants to. I know he's not Dame Lillard of 50 years ago, but anybody that can shoot three-pointers like that can kind of do that sort of thing.
Dame and Giannis combined for 75 points, 20 rebounds, and 8 assists on Saturday. Like, collectively, those two were not the problem. They were very, very good together. And so I want Giannis out of the court, off the court, excuse me.
I mean, I'll take it, but my point is, like, would it surprise you if Dame showed up and had, like, was like 12 of 12 of something for three and made this game interesting?
No, well, the make it interesting part would surprise me a little bit. I think he can show up. I just think they're very broke right now. They're in a rough spot.
So I think they are, and I think that's a good point. And at any point, if you want to fire Doc Rivers, that certainly makes sense. I don't think Doc had any real chance of getting this thing right.
Yeah.
I think he saw a payday. I think he took it. I think he tried to talk them out of giving him a payday.
You think so?
And I think he knows the quicker they fire him, the happier he can be going off to retirement while, you know, spending a fair amount of Jimmy Haslam's money.
Spend Jimmy Haslam's
like
money.
Like a lot of coaches out there, right?
Yeah.
Like I think he just was like, well, that's a payday and I can't really turn this down and I can walk off into retirement with this.
Cavs are 8-point favorites tonight?
Yeah, and I hate that too.
It feels like a trap game for you, doesn't it?
Yeah,
that's what
it
this
does.
Is.
And they've been, in fairness, the Cavs have been really good about avoiding the trap game, but it's the NBA, and every team is susceptible to a trap game moment. And I suddenly care a lot about being 8-0.
Why?
Because I like the idea of this iteration of the Cavs getting a place or two in the Cavs record books.
Okay.
You know, like if
something
they can,
that isn't LeBron's?
Yeah, I mean, because listen, I think that's important. I think some of the residual, and I would say LeBron hate, but like I think there is some LeBron apathy by people who maybe had a tenuous relationship at best in a second run with him that I think will start to go away if this team can really start to cement their own place in Cavs history. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know that this team focuses that much on it or worries on that much, but I know the fans do, obviously. Like,
yeah.
We think about these things.
Yeah, and I do think, like, I'm glad we haven't weaponized LeBron's success against these Cavs.
Yeah, that'd be brutal.
I don't think it's out of the question, by the way. If you get a couple of years down the road and you haven't made it to an Eastern Conference Finals, I think there's a path where that could happen. But mostly, like, I can't wait for the time, and maybe it's when he retires. I can't wait for the time that there are just some Cavs fans who can just stop shading LeBron and just appreciate what both of those runs were, his place,
yeah,
while also really understanding that, like, this is a great spot to be in, and I don't know if they're going to win a title in the next 5 years, but, man, are they going to be a lot of fun.
I think we're getting there. I think we're very close because, like, the we want Bronny chance, I don't know that would have happened a couple years ago. Like, that was
okay.
That was a direct, like, here, we're telling you, LeBron, we love you, and this is what you mean to us.
Yeah, but I don't think the guys that didn't like LeBron or were jaded by LeBron, I don't think they were going to be there.
Maybe you're right about that. Maybe that was just always going to be a chock-filled bunch of LeBron-loving people that were at that game anyway, and that just is what it is. But I don't know. I think they're a little bit different. What I thought was interesting was that, you know, I read the gambling previews. On all these games and everything like that, and the friends in the desert that had it at 8 points and then pointed out some of the things that we're talking about. They were talking about how, like, now the Cavs are cemented in their spot in being one of the top teams in the East. And it was just a quick sentence. It's like they're one of the best teams in the East. They've cemented that with the 7-0 start. And I was like, wow. A couple weeks ago, although we knew how good this team was, I don't think the national perspective of it was one of the top teams in the East. We had to still kind of earn that a little bit.
You know what I haven't heard nearly enough about? Because it's funny, I had a couple different conversations today where somehow the Cavs came up. And to a person, and some of these the people that I talked to, and by the way, they're like friends within like sports. They're not like in like the NBA. They're like media friends or people that I talk to because the show got announced and all that kind of stuff, because you always hear from a lot of people that kind of day. But like three or four times, they're like, wow, this is really a commentary on how bad of a coach J.B. Bickerstaff was.
Oh, really?
And I was like, and a couple of these people were the people who were like out of market and like, man, why would you want to fire J.B. Bickerstaff? Look what he's done. And I would give them the reasons, and they would just kind of be like, eh, whatever. How much does a coach really matter? And now, 7 games in, there's a lot of people kind of like, oh, I guess the coach does matter.
It feels like it does.
And listen, again, that's not, I don't mean to shade it like, oh, JB was a problem. I just don't think he fit this team anymore.
You did kind of shade it like
that,
and that's okay.
I think the second they traded for Donovan, they probably outgrew JB. And their timelines no longer matched up.
Yeah.
And so I don't think, again, really good rebuilding coach.
But there's something else there too, though. And you tell me if you think I'm right or wrong about this. But one thing I love about Atkinson is when you listen to his press conferences, he goes like really inside basketball. And you want to hear a guy that loves basketball. You think you love basketball? You don't love basketball the way that Kenny Atkinson loves basketball. Okay. What I think is great about that is Jared Allen in New York was dubbed the NBA's nerdiest player. We know that he like really. He's a thinker, right? Evan Mobley, also one of those type of guys as well. A lot of players on this team go inside basketball, and I feel like at times, because J.B. Bickerstaff, I listened to a million J.B. Bickerstaff press conferences, he didn't really go inside basketball at all. He was just kind of like, yeah, we got to try harder, we got to do this. It was very, very surface level, and I know he can get deeper with it, but I just think Atkinson goes to a level that meets those guys, the basketball junkies that they are, in such a spot that like it's great. And they're like, oh, he's got a reason for why X, Y, and Z is happening, and this is why we're doing X, Y, and Z. And I just think that's a valuable thing for this team.
Well, and I think like those are the guys that went in the postseason. Like the guys who are culture guys, I'm not saying they don't have a place, but you do have limitations if you're more of a culture guy. If you're not willing to kind of outsource the X's and O's, which I think JB felt a lot of pressure to show everybody how good of a coach is. And by the way, that's pretty typical in all sports. That all of a sudden you realize you're having success and people start questioning how much is you. And then you go, well, even though it might not be my forte, or even if that's not a thought, you go, well, I have to show people.
Sirianni right now. That's exactly what's happening with him. He's like in this big struggle to try to show people how smart and good at football he is. It's like, you're not. It's fine.
And like Kenny Atkinson is the guys that I like in the playoffs. Because they're the guy who like, hey, I'm going to come up with this ATO we haven't used since November. Or I'm going to draw one up on the spot that kind of fits into what we've been doing. Like, that's a coaching edge. Like, when you're going up against a Joe Mazzulla, who I don't know is that guy.
Yeah.
Or maybe not that guy yet. He's still a very young coach. But that's the kind of advantage that you can exploit. And by the way, it's what coaches like Tom Tipton.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thibodeau, who doesn't always out X's and O other guys. Like,
Tibbs is just working to the ground.
Well, yeah, but Tibbs is kind of middle of the road when it comes to that. Like, I thought it was really interesting that we went from Tibbs out-coaching JB to Spo coaching circles around Tibbs.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Kenny Atkinson's one of the 10, 11. I thought Borrego would have been this as well. Like, those guys have an ability to win you games in the postseason and stand like toe-to-toe with other great X's and O coaches.
I just think he's a basketball junkie. I think the team is filled with basketball junkies, and it just kind of makes sense.
And so, I'm so excited for that. And again, I can't believe how much I care about this record. Like, in the pantheon of things, I know that, like, oh, yeah, hey, they started at 8-0, or if they go 9-0.
Well, you're going to care until they lose a game, and then it's just going to be, what is it? Or are we now putting, like, 60-win season on the clock? Like, what are we? Well, I'm curious to find out what your expectations are.
No,
with that.
I just want this record.
What record do you want?
The fastest, the most wins to start a season ever.
Okay.
For the Cavs, not for the NBA. I think that's a ridiculous one. But I think tonight is, if you get that, you tie it.
Okay.
Because it's 8-0, I think, was the best franchise start ever in history. And then you get the ninth win, and all of a sudden you have something that isn't of you. And I know, like, by and large, we're going to forget about this. But
for sure, we'll forget about it 3 weeks from now.
Well, but, like, there are so many things that I've forgotten that LeBron and the Cavs had.
Yeah.
That now it's like, oh, you remember that one time where he had that 17, or some ridiculous stat that it's like, like that. Because I think those are the reminders of, hey, that team really was great.
Yeah, LeBron ruins a record book in a fun way, but he ruins a record book from anyone coming anywhere close to it. Where were you for the Donovan game winner? Which, by the way, we want to talk about people giving credit to other people. How about him spending the entire post game just talking about how it was all Okoro, and Okoro deserved all the credit for getting that loose ball. Like that was incredible.
That was a nice Okoro game. And it pains me to say that because the Okoro apologist of record, Mac Robinson, is over here.
That's why he got so excited when I brought up Okoro's name. Okay.
He dislikes Caris LeVert for being inconsistent and then loves Isaac Okoro, who's inconsistent. It's maddeningly inconsistent.
I'll allow it.
You giving him the Peter Lynn pass?
I'll allow it.
Oh, I don't like that. I'm not going to give you the Wilson wave. I'll tell you that right now. I think you look at this like, because to me, it's like the first one, right? It's the first record. And I can't stress enough how I just really like this team. And listen, there's a point that if they start 12-0 or 13, I know people are going to start doing the thing where I've liked the Cavs this whole time. And it's going to be a bunch of people who are like, yeah, their ceiling's the third seed in the East. So like, there's already a fistful of crap that we're going to have to eat on this. But the truth is, I really, really like where this team is.
The Bucks imploding the way that they are, though. I think a lot of people have just been talking about how, like, you're behind Boston, yeah. But there's a lot you can do in this East.
Well, and I still don't think we're there. Like, I don't know when everyone's going to hop onto the bandwagon again.
We're putting a banner for starting off the way we're going to start here?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll take a ban.
All right.
Yeah, but only
we'll
if you
put
get
it right
to
next to Nate Thurman's.
If you get to 10, bite your tongue.
10-0 start
on Bowling Green's Nate Thurman. I don't know if you knew that.
I've always been a Bingo Smith guy. You know that about me.
I thought you were a Clyde the Glide Frazier
guy. Always a Bingo Smith guy.
You weren't an Elmore Smith guy.
Always a Bingo Smith guy.
I know this is not a logical thought because it's just a record that we're going to forget if they get it. But I just, there's something about, like, I really like the idea of this team. Like, even I think it was Donovan. I think just passed Kyrie for the most 30-point games, like, for the second most 30-point games in Cavs history or something like that. I'm butchering the stat because I'm trying to recall it. And I saw it this weekend when we were at the hockey game. But, like, even stuff like that where it's like, cool.
But you saw it at the hockey game? Were you watching, were you watching the Cavs game during the hockey game?
They've got periods in between, and I was
listen,
watching.
I wouldn't
it.
Judge. I would totally watch another sporting event at a sporting event. I just wanted to make sure you were doing that.
Zamboni go around so many times. Although I did tell Vanessa,
well, it's also college hockey too. Like it's fun, but whoa. It's fun.
Whoa.
But like you can definitely watch an NBA game while watching college hockey.
Yeah, no.
I don't know about an NHL game. Those tickets
are
expensive.
I only paid attention to it during the intermission there. Thank you very much. I did tell Vanessa though that if she dies first. My sad, like, end of like life kind of thing is I'm at 80. I'm going to start driving the Zamboni
for
BG hockey. Why? Are you an ageist?
80 is not. No, 80 is not the time where you all of a sudden get to drive the Zamboni.
It's a Zamboni.
I think you need experience before you get to drive the Zamboni at 80.
You underestimate my ability to talk my way into driving a Zamboni. I'm pretty coarse.
You talk your way into a lot of things, but at 80, you're going to turn into like a great Zamboni driver?
I talked my way into afternoon drive in Cleveland, Ohio. I have no business hosting this. You know this. If I can talk myself and others into this.
And others.
The Zamboni at 80.
Okay.
I mean, that's a layup. But yeah, that's how I'll just drive around.
I'm just picturing you drunk on a Zamboni at 80.
I mean, there's going to be beer. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sixer.
Yeah.
But very responsibly. And I'll just be thinking, like the tear in my eye, maybe listening to a little careless whisper, thinking of my beautiful wife. Because that's how I'm going to get down. Right into the afterlife. Going to drive that Zamboni. Right to the pearly gates.
Okay. That sounds...
I don't think you realize. That was really romantic.
It sounds doable.
Really
romantic. You just ended your life on a Zamboni. What is romantic?
Like thinking of my dearly departed wife. Yeah. Like you're not hearing this. I don't think you're hearing this the way it's coming out.
I don't think you're hearing it.
216-474-0092. Do you want the most wins to start a season record? I know I just want something for this team. I really like these dudes. And Peter Lynn's wrong, right? It's very romantic at 80 to be driving a Zamboni at your college thinking of your departed wife. More on that, one segment to go. 92.3 The Fan.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now,
Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.